Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
It was a huge day for the Rebels yesterday. They're heading to the All-Ireland final, Cork beating Limerick in a sellout match at Croke Park, with the final score putting just 2 points between them. Well, to take us through some of yesterday's game and what we can expect from this year's All-Ireland clash between Cork and Clare, I'm joined on the line by RTE Sports' Joanne Cantwell. Now, Joanne, our heads are spinning with all of the amazing sports so far this summer. I don't know what it's like for you and your colleagues. It's an extraordinary time, isn't it?
It is extraordinary. It's so extraordinary when I was asked to do this, I tried to remember anything that absolutely happened across the weekend, because there was just so much squeezed in. Even if you just look at the hurling matches, there were just so much in both of those as well. And we also, and we shouldn't forget this, we had two big Camogie games on in Croke Park as well, and a particularly significant victory for Dublin on Saturday as well. So, and that's aside from the Euros, that's aside from all the other bits and pieces that are happening. And don't forget, we do have what could be quite a big and significant Olympic Games from an Irish point of view just around the corner.
It's extraordinary.
Hard to keep track of everything.
It really is, but you are, and you're doing a great job of it as well there in RTE Sport. Now, this game though yesterday, I mean, how full of energy was it? It was an absolute classic. Cork ending Limerick's 5-in-a-row aspirations. There were so many standout moments. For you though, where was the game won and lost?
It was won all over the field, and it's quite easy to pick out one bit or two bits, and that would be doing an injustice to so many different things. So even if we take through Pat Ryan, the one thing Liam Sheedy, who was on with us in the Sunday game, said yesterday, the credit going to him for the matchups, and we often make a big deal of the matchups, but when you are playing Limerick, they play as such a team, but they're also these individuals as well. So you're trying to stop their tactics, you're trying to stop their teams and their individuals. So matchups was massive, and the Limerick half back line has been such a massive element of their success throughout all the time since John Kiely and Paul Kinnerk have been with Limerick. There has been a suggestion earlier on this year that there might have been a bit of a vulnerability. Teams had begun to target Dermot Burns and Declan Hannan, which seems a bit insane because they've been so crucial for Limerick down through the years. Dermot Burns was Hurler of the Year 2 years ago. He was nominated again last year for that accolade. But Cork went for them again. But crucially, Kyle Hayes has not been one who has been underperforming this year. He has been on the absolute fire. Declan Dalton played the most selfless role you could play, particularly if you think about what that cauldron was like yesterday and all this noise that was going on. And Declan Dalton's role was essentially to go over to the sideline and keep Kyle Hayes as far out of the play as possible, which is not an easy task to do when all you want to do is get on the ball. He did that, but he also then, on a few occasions, he did manage to get on the ball himself, popped up with a couple of crucial plays. So the half forward line for Cork, Shamie Harnady as well, playing an unbelievable game. Shane Barrett, who has been incredible for them all year as well, playing centre forward. So the half forward line. And then goalkeepers always get stick, but Patrick Collins from both puckouts and some of the saves he pulled off yesterday. There was one, Donal O'Cusack was actually sitting in front of me, and the one I'm sure everybody remembers from Aaron Galan in the first half, where it went kind of in his ribs, almost at his armpit. He just put his body literally on the line and the slitter went right in there. And I leaned forward to Donal O'Cusack and said, "He won't mind that, Willie." And Donal O'Cusack says, "You like to feel it. You like to feel the pain. Yeah. It tells you what you've done."
Malachy Clerkin called it a bullet catcher this morning, which is, I'm sure, exactly what it felt like. Someone else who was called out as well, I was reading this morning, Dennis Walsh was saying Brian Hayes was a point of difference. And he puts it really well. He says he's someone who can attack the ball in midair, move with menace with the ball in hand, and mind himself when the other crowd got saucy. So everyone needs someone like that, right?
Oh yes, and what was crucial, so Brian Hayes ended up being man of the match, and he did get that goal and denied unfairly probably another goal as well. But actually the whole full forward line, so you had Brian Hayes and Alan Connolly, who brought something different for Cork this year. In particular, they have the size, but they also have that boldness and that ability to run directly at, because Cork have always loved these goal threats, and these are lads who love to get it. then when you mention those two, you're leaving out the legend who is operating beside them, and Patrick Horgan, who probably had a quieter first half, but still in terms of leadership was there as well and was adding bits and pieces. But it is the difference that they have added in Hayes and Connolly in that full forward line. And it means that they can play a different kind of game as well, because it means they can mix it up and they can send the ball along into them. But actually, one thing we should probably mention too is down through the last few years, one thing that this Cork team has always been said is that they have lovely hurlers and they love to play the game a particular way, but their fight has often been questioned and their work rate has been questioned and their willingness to do the work rate. You couldn't have questioned that yesterday, mm-hmm. not from a single player on that pitch. So I'd say that's one thing that Pat Ryan, the manager, will probably be really pleased about.
Yeah, and look, we have that final now to look forward to, Cork and Clare in the All-Ireland on the 21st of July. What do you think we can expect from that game, given that we saw both teams in action over the weekend?
The question probably is, can Cork reproduce what they did yesterday and what they did in Páirc Uí Chaoimh a couple of months ago as well against Limerick? If they do, and it'll be hard to do that because I think that's probably Cork close to their peak, they will be so hard to beat. But the difference is that I don't think Clare have been close to their peak yet. We saw probably a bit of it in their opening game down in Ennis against Limerick, funnily enough. But then, of course, Limerick came back and put this incredible final quarter in against them. So we probably saw flashes of it early on, but we probably haven't seen. So Clare have more in them. And I do think we will see more in them. And that's probably something that Brian Lohan will be happy about, is that they didn't actually perform probably to their best, but they outfought Kilkenny, which doesn't happen very often on mm-hmm. Saturday. So it's going to be one fascinating thing. I'm sure everybody has seen this, the fact that it is a repeat of what happened in 2013, which went to a replay. Interestingly, Shane O'Donnell was 19 years of age in that replay back in 2013. He came on and had a hat-trick of goals inside the first 19 minutes. He wasn't even expected to start. He is probably the leading contender for Hurler of the Year this year, playing a different sort of a role as well. So it's going to be absolutely fascinating. You have Shane Horgan or Patrick Horgan, who's still there for Cork as well. So you get back these memories, but also these links between the two of them as well. And Tony Kelly was Hurler of the Year in 2013, and he's been struggling with injury. I hit three massive points in that game on Saturday, so he's probably due a big game as well.
Now, Joanne, we're going to change codes for a minute because I want to talk to you about the Euros and ask you whether it's fair to say that England have stumbled into the semi-finals, because they've had, you know, a series of fairly flat games, but they're there. They're there where they want to be.
See, that's it, and it doesn't really matter. It's absolutely fair to say, and they have absolutely stumbled into there. But they've got to the semi-finals, what does it matter? And they're going to come up against now the best opposition they've faced in the Netherlands. The Netherlands they've probably been one of the most impressive teams so far in patches, but that doesn't mean that England can't beat them. I mean, England have been so underperforming individually. Gareth Southgate's tactics, his team selections have been continually questioned. It's the first time he's really come out as well afterwards and spoken about the level of criticism that he has had, the level of criticism that his players have had. They are still there.
Yeah. When you watch it, it's just hard to understand how, with the players that they have, they play such boring football.
They do. They're not getting the best out of these brilliant players, and it's really difficult. So you have to ask the question, is that down to the manager? But you also say the best players in the world, because you're talking individually. You're talking somebody like Jude Bellingham was La Liga's best player. He was voted La Liga's best player of the season. Now he is only 20 years of age. Many would have considered he was a leading contender for the Ballon d'Or for this year as well. The best players, surely, no matter where they are, they should be able to shine. So that's the real conundrum, where the blame lies. And obviously he still came up with the huge moment to help them get here as well, despite underperforming. Mm-hmm. So there is that as well.
All right, Joanne, thank you very much for that. And I hope we'll speak again soon. Joanne Cantwell, RTE Sport broadcaster. Coming up next, David Coleman will be with us.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.